Washington State tests low-orbit satellite internet service. Transparent solar panels can also be your house windows. Cardiologists are getting more patients that own smartwatches and more ways to protect yourself online. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice and streaming live on YouTube at the 1030 The Voice YouTube channel. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. We have a great show prepared for you today. Approximately seven states suffered a 911 failure this week for about an hour or more. But the big question is, what happened? Technically, what happened? So we're going to be having a VOIP expert to shed some light on the subject a little bit later on in the show. But first, highlights of tech news this week. Emergency responders in Washington got a chance to test out the new internet service from Starlink that uses low-orbit satellites set by SpaceX. CNBC reports the Emergency Response Division installed Starlink terminals to areas devastated by the wildfires. The Starlink terminals are small devices that sit on the ground to communicate with the satellites. Now, since the satellites are low orbit, the response is faster and the signal is stronger. The internet service developed by Elon Musk provides Wi-Fi and phone service to remote areas that would otherwise not be worth running cable to. Transparent solar panels look just like window panes thanks to a new technology from Ubiquitous Energy based out of California. CNN reports the technology allows the blaring sun coming through your windows to generate renewable electric power, a nice contribution to the U.S. energy boom. Since the windows are see-through and they look just like windows but are actually solar panels, therefore sparing the need of installing solar panels on your rooftop and embedding the technology in windows that will be installed anyway can reduce the need for post-construction installs. Some of the best application would be tall buildings that contain lots of glass on the sides but very limited roof space. Also, the panels can be used on cars, and the glass on smartphones can embed this technology to supplement power generation. The technology is in its early stages, but the solar race continues. Expect more states to require renewable energy in new constructions coming up. Smartwatches are informing more users of heart problems that would be normally left untreated. As a result, more cardiology appointments are being made from users to their doctors to check out abnormal heart rhythms that have no symptoms. The Verge reports a recent study that involved 264 patients. 41 got a warning about abnormal pulse. 58 were alerted to atrial fibrillation. But only 30 of the 264 patients that were alerted required action regarding the health of their heart. The study recommended that the FDA and Apple should consider the increased screening for asymptomatic rhythms over the utilizations of healthcare resources. I should say the overutilization of healthcare resources. When you dial 911, you expect to get an answer immediately. Among other things that contribute to a good 911 system is the ability for the call to get through. This week, there was a major outage of 911 systems that affected some approximately seven U.S. states, and the outage lasted over an hour in most places, and we hope that no lives were affected by this outage. But we hope to answer the question now of how these outages happen. On the phone with us is Joe Barrera on line two. And first of all, are you there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Aaron.
Okay, thanks for coming on the show today. So what exactly happened here? I know you've been doing some research this week about that.
Well, I think it's still a little early. Effectively, their Lumen, which is also CenturyLink, or formerly CenturyLink, uses a vendor called Intrado, who was at one point called West Safety Communications. So all these companies have effectively changed their names in the last 10 years. They've had an outage. It lasted approximately 77 minutes and affected 14 states. Started at 4:30 Mountain Time. And they've been pretty tight-lipped about what exactly happened. They haven't commented on what the failure was, but they have admitted that it was on their side and not CenturyLink's.
Okay. So now we know you're actually in Texas, right?
I am. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Okay. So I don't know if Texas was affected, but how could one provider affect 11, you said 11 states disaffected?
14 states.
14.
Arizona, California, Colorado, Delaware, way out there, Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Washington State.
Okay. So it's kind of, if you were to highlight these on a map, they would kind of like be all over the place. So what you're saying is all of these states, they kind of pool into the same 911 system, or at least the same 911 forwarding system. Is that how that works?
Yeah, you know, effectively, not every municipality can either afford or simply have the technology to really transmit this kind of real-time communication. That is obviously so important to safety, right? So everything's kind of consolidated into what are called public safety answering points and PSAPs. And these PSAPs are interconnected through the telecommunications provider, like, say, CenturyLink, and they run through Intrado to basically point your 911 to a PSAP, which will then connect you to the appropriate emergency response dispatch operator, right? Mm-hmm. So it really answers the need for having a centralized place where not every little local agency is big enough, frankly, to have its own.
I see. So, okay, so that's the case when people are dialing 911. So if you have a cell phone, or if you're in your car, you witness an accident, or you yourself are in an accident, you get out your phone, you dial 911. Where does that call obviously go first? Obviously, it goes
to the first carrier, right? So if you are a Verizon customer, it first goes through Verizon. If you're an AT&T customer, it first goes through AT&T. If your telephone system in your home is serviced, in this case, by Lumen, which is CenturyLink, it goes to CenturyLink. And then they pass it off to whatever vendor or whatever service provider they have to handle 911 and E911, respectively.
Okay. And E911 is enhanced 911, is that correct?
And that's generally provided by voice over IP providers. It doesn't go through the typical public switch network anymore because it's going through the internet effectively.
Okay. So the call it goes through your service provider. It goes through whoever is handling the 911 or E911. And enhanced 911 basically allows the 911 operator to see the phone number, your address, any other pertinent information that kind of goes along with that phone call, allows them to see more. And is that a feature that most cell phone services have? They're set up with E911?
All telecommunications providers, in some way, shape, or form, are required by the FCC to provide that 911 service. And that 911 service is actually, consolidated into a giant database that the PSAP, the public safety answering points, have access to, so that when you do call them from a specific phone number, they have that address registered. And in the case of your wireless phone, it will use your location information that's on your smartphone or your regular cell phone to transmit your location to the local authorities. In the case of, you know, you're having a heart attack or you're in an accident or something like that happens, because you're not necessarily in your home.
Okay. Now, this is a question that I kind of had when if the 911, I guess, forwarding system, because here in Tucson, I follow the police and fire feeds on Twitter, and they were pouring out a lot of information on Twitter. If you have an emergency, call this alternative phone number. Okay. So how is it that their direct phone numbers were able to work, that they were actually able to send out this new emergency phone number, but the 911 phone number wasn't working? Is that just a forwarding problem?
Well, it's routing, right? So in this case, Intrado is the vendor for Lumen, again, CenturyLink, which handles the 911 call routing to take it to the closest public safety answering point. Mm-hmm. So you're going effectively through a system that presumably has an economies of scale, right? They have more staff rather than a individual city's police department to take in emergency calls. And because they have effectively an economies of scale, they're doing the dispatching for so many other cities that at different points in time, they have more staff to handle spikes in different locations. Mm-hmm. So they're usually better equipped to handle emergency calls. But mm-hmm. that goes through an completely different network, a system of networks that it would be if you just dialed your local police department directly. And remember, most people don't know what the direct local telephone number is for their police department mm-hmm. in their city, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So 911 is meant to be easy to remember, and it is synonymous now with emergency calling. I have an issue, you dial 911.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for all that information. One more quick question, and then I'll mm-hmm. Let you plug the phone company that you work for.
Oh, sure.
In the event that someone's in a car crash, I know some Chevy and GM vehicles, they have that North Star system that automatically calls. If a 911 system happens and you're in a car and you're in a vehicle collision that activates this North Star system or any of these other systems that automatically call 911, will those be affected also? Do those depend on the 911 forwarding?
It depends. And it's not so much 911 forwarding as it is routing.
Routing.
So everybody's technology is going to be a little bit different. The end result is that there are kind of rules and regulations regarding emergency services that somebody like, what's the name of the company, North Star?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know, that's in the GMC cars and things like that, that they would have to adhere to, and they will likely go through a public safety answering point as well mm-hmm. for those kinds of dispatches. If they have their own, they may have their own dispatch.
I believe
well.
They do have their own dispatch. Okay, I think that answers that question. Thank you
yeah,
very, very
so
much.
Yeah, so it would just be different. I would like to also point out, though, that there has been, since 2014, three other large outages. And as of December 2018, there was an outage that was due to an issue with a vendor's switch in December of 2018 that blocked 911 service for 37 hours.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, they are pretty reliable. But it's very rare. But when mm-hmm. they happen, it definitely gets everybody's attention. And the FCC does fine these companies for certain types of outages that they would consider to be more along the lines of mistakes and negligence rather than, like, for instance, in the case where a piece of hardware failed, I don't think there was any fines involved.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that there's checks and balances in the system to make sure of our safety.
Yeah, for sure.
And Joe Barrera, he is with AMP Telecom. Tell us what your website and your phone number is, so anybody that would need any type of SIP type of phone or VoIP service
Yes, so AMP Telecom is a cloud-hosted PBX service. We pretty much concentrate on small and medium-sized businesses. Our website is www.amp, as in AMP Telecom. As an amplifier. So it's www.amptelecom.com. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 888-874-3224.
Thank you very much, Joe, for being on the show with us. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, some powerful tips on how to protect yourself online from my upcoming book on cybersecurity. And we'll also try to take some of your calls on our open lines at 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show on KVOI 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. On this next segment on this radio program is called Online Protection 101, because I am on a mission to keep the public informed and safe online and to reduce the victim count of online crimes. We're going to consider three cybersecurity tips today, and ultimately a book with all the tips will become available for purchase. My wife asked me, what book? Well, it's still being written. And we'll let you guys know the moment it is available. Last time we discussed three tips. That was to destroy your old hard drives, to invest in encryption software, and also use a lockable mailbox. So the next three tips we're going to talk about is to remove the key ring off when lending out your car, and also don't lend your keys to strangers, and also to cover your keypad when you're entering your PIN on various point-of-sale machines. So let's take a look at, talk a little bit about removing the key off when lending your car out. Lots of us have our keys on the same key ring as our house keys and other keys, office keys, padlock keys, front gate keys, mailbox keys. If you lend your key out, okay, unfortunately, there is the possibility that someone can have that key copied. And how often is it that we really change our keys? Okay, not too often. Only when we're about to move in, move out, or when we feel that our security has been compromised in some way. That's when we start changing our keys. But if someone is in possession of your keys for long enough, it's not that hard for them to just go to the hardware store or some key copying place, copy their keys, okay, and then leave with copies of your keys. They rarely get asked for their ID. They assume that since you are in possession of the keys, that you have the right to copy them as necessary. So that is it's an area of security. And obviously, if other people have copies of your keys, they can access your house, your car, other private information. Before you know, they can even have access to your computer and all of your digital life. So make sure, if you ever have to lend a key out, have your key rings in such a way that you can just pop a key off instead of having to unravel it. Some people may feel offended if you go to the trouble of taking a key off and only give them the one key. They say, what are you talking about? I'm not going to steal your stuff. Well, they might, you know, so you never know. So you have to be a little bit, careful when it comes to that. The next tip here was don't lend your keys to strangers. Now, this kind of goes hand in hand with an experience that I had where I was actually in an office building and I needed to use the restroom. And I was told that I can get a key to the men's room by talking to one of the secretaries. So the secretary says, I don't have my own key, but here. She takes out her own keys and she gives me her entire ring of keys. Okay. Now, she tells me which one is the one for the men's room. So I go and I use that key. And then I'm just thinking, you know, I have these keys in my possession. You know, who knows? I can have some sort of duplication machine right there with me. Okay. And it's not that hard to figure out which key is for the car, which key is for the house, which key is for the entire building that you're in. But she lent me her entire keys. Okay, you need to find a way to not do that. This is a little bit of a scary thought these days, and I'll tell you the quick story about how this years and years ago, I was trying to make a copy of a car key, and it was the only original key that I had for the car. So I took it to it was a Home Depot, and I think the kid behind the counter, he was a little bit new. He didn't know quite how to use the machine. Well, you know those two little slots that you're supposed to put the key in? One says original, one says copy. Well, guess what? He put my original in the copy side, and he put the original, the blank key in the original slot, and then he hit the button. Now, theoretically, the cutters are supposed to go right over the top and not miss anything. But I heard a little bit of I wasn't watching him. I assumed he knew what he was doing. But he shaved off just a smidge off of my original key, and that key no longer worked. And he got the two slots mixed up. So I make sure every time I need to make copies of a key these days, I always tell them now, make sure you put it in the right slot. And I make sure they put it in the right key slot. But the last time I did it, I heard something very, very interesting. They said, you don't have to worry about that happening anymore because now there's no longer a slot. We just put the key in the machine and there's a high definition camera that takes a picture of your key and then cuts it. I said, hold on, wait a minute. There's a camera that is able to see the pits and rises of the key so accurately that it's able to make a copy just based on a picture. Well, what's stopping people from just taking pictures of their high definition? Do you realize how high definition camera in your phone is? Okay, those are way, way high enough to make good pictures of your keys. And all they need is just a dishonest locksmith or person that has the right equipment to make copies of your keys just with a picture. Pretty scary. We only have time for the last one, and that is to cover your keypad when entering your PIN. Whenever you're having your PIN number, you're punching it in, make sure you're covering it with your hand. It seems a little bit low tech, but trust me, there are lots of ways there's lots of things that can happen if someone gets that PIN, and covering your hand is what they recommend. We would like to thank our awesome sponsors for the show that helped to keep the show going. Icon Power, Perfect Look Photography, Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with them. They are local and they help keep this show on the air. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.